While you're turning there, what Paul has done and what he's been doing from chapter 2 and continuing through chapter 3, coming down to verse 18, is to make sure that all of us understand that we are all under sin, every single one of us. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. I had a question asked this morning that gets into one of those things that there's a lot of debate about and a lot of discussion about. That if Jesus was a human being and he was tempted in all points like as us, then is it possible for a human being to live without sin? The answer to that, technically and logically, is yes, it is possible. But nobody ever has, except for Jesus. And God knows no one ever will. We will all sin. But the point is that we sin because we get caught up in our desires and in temptations in this world, and we yield to them. But with every individual sin or every individual temptation we face, we can overcome the temptation. We can overcome every single one of them, but we don't. And so God's way of justifying us becomes absolutely essential for us because of what we have done and what we will continue to do, what our children will continue to do. And so Paul has acknowledged that all are under sin, because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Then he says this in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. As we look at these introductory verses, Paul has shown that all are under sin. Verses 19 and 20, the law does not justify. The law does not justify anyone, because by the law, nobody will be justified. But the law convicts us of sin. It allows us to know what sin is and when we have parted from his ways. Now we'll go to verse 21, but from verse 21, we're going to read down through the next 10 verses. But now, apart from the law, and as you read through these verses, there will be times back and forth where the article is there and the article is not. Sometimes it's written as the law, sometimes law. It doesn't really seem to matter. They go back and forth interchangeably. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. So from this passage, chapter 3, verse 21 through verse 31, which is the heart of Romans, everything said in Romans to this point leads to this. And everything said in Romans from this point forward points back to this. These 10 verses are the very heart of the book of Romans. So let's look at 10 things in regard to these 10 verses. This way of justification that God has made known for us, this way of being justified, this way of being declared to be right in the sight of God, this way of God making us righteous, this way by which God says you are not guilty, this way by which God says your sins are covered and they will not be brought back to you again. You have been justified. You have been freed from them. You are now righteous. This way of justification is without law. It is not by law. It is not based on law. And it is not accomplished by law. This way of being justified by God is without law. The Bible will say it again in this way in Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. There was no reason for his death if righteousness comes through the law. And so Paul begins these 10 things with this way of justification is without law. But we don't need to misunderstand. We need to understand that it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. This way of justification without law was talked about in the law and the prophets. It was demonstrated in the law and the prophets. There were examples of it in the law and the prophets. There were illustrations of it in the law and in the prophets. And because it is witnessed by the law and the prophets, it is not in contradiction to the law. It does not contradict what the law says nor what the law was all about. Instead of contradicting, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. So we need to be careful if we have the idea that all of a sudden law is dismissed because it's useless. No, it witnesses this justification that comes to us apart from the law. It is confirmed by the law. The law tells us about it. The law shows us Abraham, who was justified in this way. And the law tells us about David, who was justified in this way. And all of the people of faith. And the law confirms this justification by faith. This way of justification comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're following along, what I'm doing is just simply going through the verses and highlighting what they say. And you can follow along in the reading and see where these come up. This way of justification comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Trust in who he is. Trust in what he said. Trust in what he's done. And this justification by faith is for all who believe. It is through Jesus Christ and no other. And it is for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Who believes who he is, believes what he says, and believes what he's done. And this salvation, this justification by faith, is for everyone who believes in him, because everybody has sinned. There is not a single person in the world who does not need to be justified. There is not a single person in the world who can stand on his own merit and make it to God. Every single one of us need this justification, and it's available to everyone who will believe in Jesus, because every single one of us have sinned. We are justified as a gift. It is not earned. It cannot be worked for. You can't be given a list of things. Now, if you accomplish these things, then you will have this justification. It's a gift given to those who believe in Jesus. The word gift means it's given freely, gratis, for nothing. And it's probably in light of this particular event that Jesus will take our minds back to that Old Testament story that gives us somewhat of an illustration of the freedom of this gift that God has given to us. When the children of Israel rebelled against God on one occasion, poisonous snakes came among them. And those individuals who were bitten by those poisonous snakes died until they prayed to God and asked for God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. And God told Moses to put up a bronze snake on top of a pole. And from that point on, whoever looked at the pole, who looked at the snake on the top of the pole, was cured of his snake bite. And that curing was a gift from God for those who trusted God's word and looked at the pole. And Jesus says that it illustrates himself. As the serpent was lifted up, so I will be lifted up. And all of those who put trust in him, who he is and what he's done, will be given this gift of being justified by God. They will have their sins taken away. This gift is because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because of his kindness. It is not because of anything that you or I have done, nor anything that we could do. It's God's gift, because of his grace, because of his mercy, and because of his kindness. But this grace is through the work of Jesus Christ. It is not God just simply saying, believe, and all of you will be saved. It is through the work of Jesus Christ that it becomes possible. Something had to be done, but it was Jesus who had to do it. And without him doing it, salvation would never have occurred, and justification would never have happened. And this work of Jesus is accomplished on the cross. And there are two things that are done on the cross that allow this grace from God to be given. One is redemption, and the other is propitiation. A lot of people had a hard time with the word propitiation. And maybe that's one reason why it's not defined for us. We just have this big old long word that is put up there for us. Redemption means to be purchased back. You are in slavery, you're in captivity. And your freedom has been bought with a price, and the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. The propitiation means an appeasement. And that's where individuals had a problem, because they looked at God as a God of love and kindness and mercy because of his grace, who did not need appeasing. and they misunderstand God. They misunderstand his wrath. They misunderstand his justice. They misunderstand his righteousness and his holiness. He needs appeasing. He has to be appeased. And so the death of Jesus Christ becomes the appeasement. It is the payment for all of the sins that we've committed, for all of the things that we have done wrong. And so in the cross of Jesus Christ, we see the work of Jesus that brings about this gift of grace that God can offer to us, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And in that work of Jesus Christ, we have demonstrated for us God's righteousness and God's justice. Because appeasement was made, an acceptable payment was made, his justice is satisfying. And now he can be righteous, remain infinite in righteousness and holiness, and at the same time justify those who had rebelled against him. All because of the work of Jesus. So this belief becomes something deeper. It becomes something about us and who we are and our standing before God and what has been accomplished for us through Jesus Christ. And for the one who puts his trust in Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished for us on the cross. And Jesus will even say that a part of that trust is going through a likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. Being baptized into him to demonstrate our trust in the one who made God's grace possible for us. See, it's not just because we're good people. It's not just because we're good neighbors. Because none of that will justify. None of that will redeem. None of that will forgive. But God grants us the gift of all of those things because of the work of Jesus when we put trust in Jesus Christ. So where's the boasting? It's gone. You and I have no reason to brag. You and I have no reason to feel superior to anybody else in the world. You and I have no reason to put ourselves up on a pedestal higher than anyone else. Because the death that Jesus died for me and you, he died for everybody in this world. It doesn't matter how evil they are, or what they may be doing to us, and what they may want to do to our country, and what they may want to do to God. Jesus died for every single one of them, just like he did for us. So where's the boasting? It's excluded. It's excluded by the principle of faith. And we need to understand here, faith is receiving something from the hand of someone else. It's not me earning it where I can grab it and take it, because I never can do that. But faith is receiving something from the hand of someone else. It's receiving the payment Jesus made for me. It's receiving the appeasement that Jesus made on my behalf before God. It's receiving the gift that God offers as a result of the works of Jesus Christ. And as we continue in the reading of these 10 verses, there is only one way of salvation, because there's only one God. And the only true God has revealed the only way back to him. And the only way to himself. There is only one way of salvation. And that's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. Because there's not another God. And God will say that in the book of Romans through the mouth of Paul. What? Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Is God the God of the Americans only? Is he not also the God of every nation in this world? And there is only one way of salvation. And that's through Jesus Christ. Because there is only one God. And then Paul says this. We do not nullify the law. Our justification is apart from the law, but we do not nullify the law. Instead, we establish the law. So we do not ignore the law. We do not run from it, and we do not close it and destroy it as if there's nothing to it anymore. Our salvation is not by the law, but we do not either nullify the law. Instead, we establish the law. Take a look at it. Law is the expression of the will of God. But law is summed up in two statements and one word. And law is summed up in the one word of love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Every single thing God has commanded in the law is fulfilled in those two things. The Apostle Paul expresses it just a little bit differently. And last Sunday we took a look at that. There's only one thing that's necessary, and that's faith working through love, which is the summation of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the expression of the law, and we need the law because love has to have knowledge. And it has to have discernment. Law has to know, rather love has to know what pleases God. What does God want from me? What does Jesus want from me? And love has to have discernment. It has to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. It has to know the difference between what is God wanting me to do and what am I striving after just on my own initiative? It has to make distinction between things. And law helps us do that. And law, while it does not save us, helps us see what the borders are. Helps us see where the parking places are in the parking lot. Helps us to see and understand God's will. And how we express our love to him. And how we express our love to one another in keeping with the will of God. And so when we tie all 10 of those things together, we clear up some confusion. Because sometimes when we hear the first part of it, and we understand that the Bible teaches us that we are justified apart from law, people want to run away from the law and they want nothing more to do with it. They want nothing more to do with commandments and instructions. But then as Paul continues through these 10 things, he comes to the 10th one and he says, do we nullify the law? God forbid. Same answer that's given in Romans 6. Because we're under grace, should we continue in sin? God forbid. The strongest negative that is known in the New Testament. May it never be. We don't nullify the law. We establish it. We bring it to the point God wanted it to be brought to, because of what Jesus has done for us. That's our salvation. And that's the heart of the book of Romans. And it helps us to see and understand how this salvation works, how it was made possible. And helps us as we go through the book of Romans to come to an understanding of what we need to be doing to live the way God wants us to live. And what we need to be doing in order to show love for Him, in order to show love for others. This evening, if you are ready to become a Christian, we would be happy to help you.